Okay, thanks for letting me here. My name is Max Hilberg. I come from a company called Bengt-Dahlgren, Swedish company. It's where I work as a consultant. I also work as a teacher at Chalmers University Technology in Gothenburg. My main field of work is indoor climate, heating, ventilation, cooling, building energy, and daylight. And I mostly work in conceptual stages, very early stages, together with architects. I also do more detailed studies later on, but that's not what I'm going to talk about today. The goal is usually three things. It's thermal comfort, visual comfort, and low energy performance, or good energy performance. Not especially in that order. Usually the energy is the first, thermal comfort is the second, and visual comfort, well, that's something you deal with later on. But as this is about radiance, I will try to show you how we work with this together.
Sorry.
So my reality, I have a very limited amount of time in every project, and that's a huge problem. We're talking about a project, maybe 20,000 square meters, you get 2 or 3 days. That's what you have. Then later on, it's too late. The architects I work with are usually very inexperienced when it comes to these questions. They are very good architects, of course, but they know very little about energy performance, indoor climate, and daylight. The 3D models, if I get 3D models in these early stages, are usually in a terrible quality. And unknown quality. You have no idea what they contain and how they are made or anything. And you've got no technical systems in the building, you have no heating, ventilation, electrical light, you have nothing to work with. And there are a few good things as well. Not only the downsides, I have lots of freedom. I can actually change a whole lot of things in buildings. I'm free to choose the tools I want. I can choose any tool and method as long as I can afford it. That's for me to decide. Sometimes I have some kind of system that can help me, LEED, BREEAM, some other system that can guide me what is the important parameters, what should I look at first. And usually, if I get something, it's a SketchUp model. That's the most common format in Sweden right now. There are other things that Revit sometimes, Rhino seldom, but SketchUp is very common. So what I usually do to try to optimize is these things: window size, very common. Glass type is, you see these very rough models, it's G values, U values, LT values. Solar shading in any form. Room temperatures, which might be surprising, but room temperatures is actually a function of the window size, since we fix the thermal comfort. So if you fix the thermal comfort and you change the window size, you also have to change the room temperature to keep the thermal comfort constant. Orientation of the building, sometimes it's rather seldom that I'm allowed to rotate the entire building. And the shape of the building, well, that is fixed. I have, so far, for 15 years, I've never been able to make any larger changes of the facade. Shadings, external shading, yes, but not the overall shape of the building. Maybe sometime, but not yet. Okay, so there's a challenge. What's the main problem? Well, I have to optimize as much as possible in these 2-3 days, and I will try to avoid to drown in data and results, because that's a problem. Usually this software with this optimizing process, they provide so much information, so you have to have a method to know, just you have to be able to see something in it. Daylight, why do I work with daylight at all? Well, first of all, it has a huge impact on the building energy. So if I fail with the daylight, I fail with the energy consumption, and okay, if I fail with that, I fail with the entire project. So it's very important. It affects solar shadings. I need the solar shadings for energy performance. Well, it's the same product mostly for glare problems. There's a visual comfort. If I fail with visual comfort, well, that's connected to the energy performance. because suddenly people will change their environment, and well, I had to take that into account. And usually the daylight is regulated in some way. There is maybe a demand for a daylight factor or something like that, depending on the system we use. Okay, so I have developed, I don't think this is a very unusual method to work, but I will describe my way to work with buildings in this kind, of this kind. I start always with a study of the facade, get a rough idea what's happening in the building, how the sun performs, shadows on the facade. Then out of this simulation, it's usually a simulation, I pick a few representative rooms, 4-8 rooms, depending on the size and the shape. If it's a very complex building, it might be a few more, but seldom more than 12 rooms. And then I optimize only these few rooms, depending on a few useful metrics. That sounds rather easy, and it is. This I do for a few typical times or days, a typical winter day, a typical one winter day in summer, and a typical reference year. But I never, ever try to optimize the entire building. I know people are doing this, but I have utterly failed every time. So I only look at a few typical, if there are no rooms, I do create thermal zones or some kind of container that represents a room that might be. And I never use BIM models. BIM models are useless in these early stages. They are very useful later on, but in early stages you don't have a BIM model. You don't even have a 3D model all the time. Just to present how this looks, we start out, see if this works, with the surroundings. The purpose of the building, is it an office building, is it a hospital, residential buildings, and the climate data file, depending on where you are. Combine this with a CAD file, hopefully, or some other description, some pencil sketches or what you might have. And out of these, we make a rough facade study. As I said, I select the rooms after that, and then, new page. You can see that I had to add some information that's not known, the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, the set points of the systems, and the control systems itself. These we don't have, so I have to guess. But since I worked with this a long time, it's not that hard to get decent values. And then I come to the metrics that I mentioned. And I work with three metrics, usually. The thermal comfort, and that's most common to describe that in PPD values. That's a very useful method, at least for office buildings, and it's for thermal comfort in summer and winter, and that's in percent. Then we have the energy performance, and that's usually building energy. You can also look at the entire the tenant's energy as well, and this is per square meter per year. And then comes the hard part, and that's the daylight part. And it depends. Usually, unfortunately, it's a daylight factor. That's it. Sometimes we are more a bit more ambitious, and then we look at glare problem and other things. But you also see that these are not separate. They are interact with us each other. If you, for example, have a glare problem, this will affect the shadings, and you will and the thermal comfort. So they, in every step, in every single calculation that we heard about yesterday, you have to connect these to each other. And, well, that's hard, but we're getting there slowly. These, to the left ones, this is a building energy model. It can be Energy Plus or some other simulation tool. And this is a daylight program. And then we boil this down to, first we make a compliance testing. Well, do we fulfill the requirements? Is this below 80, maybe? Or is this about below 18? Or is this about 2% or that? And then we optimize this with weight factors. We say energy is twice as important as thermal comfort and thermal twice as important as this, or how we choose to weight them, and we boil down this to a single metric. And this we also do for all the rooms. As I said, we might have 4 or 8 or 12 rooms. So we have a single metric that's optimized. And then we change the window size, glass type, whatever, and we've got the feedback loop, and we try to do as much of this in 2 or 3 days. Hopefully, if the most ambitious projects where this is optimized, this could be some kind of script that do this automatically. In reality, because this is not only me in this process, usually we are a few more, the architect is involved here. So we get to try to be as creative as possible in this optimizing process. And finally, hopefully, we end up in a single metric that describes the entire optimized building, and as a result, we also get these heating ventilation control set points. We get these verified. Have they worked? Have we managed to make it? Does they provide the energy and the thermal comfort that we want? Any questions? Or I can take them now or later on. About this method, well, it's fast, it's simple, it's very limited amount of input, and it optimizes quite a large portion of the building, depending on how we chose on these rooms. As I said, it mentioned the heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems. You actually know if they can fulfill their requirements. That's a problem with looking at the entire building, because you don't know how much air should you have in a single room, or how much, how large should the radiator be. But it does not calculate the entire building energy, and that's a huge limitation. There is some correlations between a single room or all the rooms and the entire building, but still you don't know. It requires some knowledge, of course. Everything does. It works best for office buildings. It works also for residential buildings, hospitals, hotels. But it does not work for more unique buildings like a swimming something or ice hockey rink. Then you can't find these rooms you need. It's very hard to work with natural ventilation, this method. Because if you have natural ventilation, you more need a larger models, more rooms to be able to track the airflow in the entire building. You can miss very important aspects of the building. That's another problem. You only see what happens in these few rooms. If, for example, you have an entrance hall that consumes huge amount of energy, you miss that entirely. And it works best with rather simple geometries, and that's a problem in the building energy simulation models. They can only handle rather limited geometry, not like radians and other things. Okay, so what programs do I normally use? I use EDA ICE for thermal comfort and building energy. If you haven't heard about it, it's a wonderful program. I can recommend it for everyone. It's a bit expensive compared to Energy Plus and other, but it's open. It's you can do wonderful things, and it's especially fast to work with. The calculations take just as long time as another program in that field. And yeah, I use DIVA or VLOX Daylight Visualizer for glare and daylight, depending on the situation. Apparently, I don't use VLOX Daylight Visualizer for the glare, since it can't handle. And then, when it comes to the first initial facade study, I use DIVA, EDA ICE, once again, or SketchUp, just pure SketchUp. And then, sometimes you have a more complex building, you have to combine it with some other tools. Radtherm, I'm not sure if you can use that, very nice tool for thermal simulations for complex geometries. Various CFD tools, Parasol and Ecotect. Well, Ecotect, not that much anymore. As I said, SketchUp, I use that for daylight studies and shading studies. It's very popular, that's the one good reason I use it. And I find it very hard in a limited time to switch between software, move geometries between programs. That's very time consuming. So if you can do everything in a single program, even if it's not optimized for that special task, it might be a better result in the end, because you have got more things done. And SketchUp has something called shadow feature that you might have seen. You see shadow image in SketchUp. They look something like that. Unfortunately, you can't export these in numerical ways from SketchUp. It's just images. But if you set the visualization of it rather clever, you can use that for you can make it have dark patches and light patches, shades, red shade, and no shade. And then you can make, like I have done, a small script that produces a number of these images for a given time. That could be interesting. And then you just lay them on top of each other and count the number of dark patches, and you end up with something like this. And here you can see how does this behave. For this window, for example, you can see, well, I get a decent shading for the time that I'm interested in. And you can also plot it in some kind of chart, see what happens over the year. So, okay, I have this is maybe here in the spring I have a problem, and the winter is useless. And this maybe take, I think this took me 10 minutes from the time that I started. From there, since the model arrived, so it's very useful. This is a real project I worked with some time ago. Where I use this method. This was produced in 20 minutes after I got the SketchUp model. It requires almost no data at all. And the question was, how many, where should we put external shades, actually was integrated box windows ventilated in the, on this east facade. It can handle complex geometries, that's always nice. It's, well, it's had huge limitations. 5 minutes. Oops, sorry. But it looks good, it was nice, and requires almost no input. I made the same in Diva. As you can see, you get almost no shade over here. Same in Diva, you get the same pattern. Always a good sign. And this is shade, this is solar radiation. And the last thing I did was it started in to eat up. I looked at thermal comfort, and you see, it's almost the same. These rooms need solar protection, and these doesn't. And, well, it saved me a lot of time. You can also do this for entire building areas. I also tried to do this for solar factors, but, well, the result was so terrible, since you've got no internal reflection, no reflections at all, so it's kind of useless. But maybe for some application, could be useful. This is a result from this building. This just a short few examples. This was a building with a movable screen. It was turning one, moved around the building in one day. So it tracked the sun. It didn't track the sun, it just followed the sun. EDIs to determine the size. And then you had to calculate this. And that was kind of a problem because EDIs has a radiosity model. So this took forever, so I did. This handmade, it's riveted, it's awful. It took me some time, but actually I managed to get the results from radiance into the energy simulation. But it moves all the time, and you have 20 rooms in different locations, orientations, the sun moves as well. But finally, we ended up in the mock-up, looks like that. I measured it, the sun. Was harder that also, but no, well, it worked, and this is how it looks now. And the energy performance, well, it's we calculated 55.5 kWh, and it ended up in 55. So apparently, it works, and people are very pleased with the building. As long as the solar shading keeps on moving, so they have some problems with engines. This is a short. This is another wonderful building. It's where I have my office. We claim that it's most energy efficient building in Sweden. Well, not sure about that, but we are very proud. We moved there 1 year ago. This is, can you see that? No. But this is actually a window with an external shade. We made this simulation during nighttime. How much energy do we save by taking this down during nighttime? And this was made in rough term. And we came up with saving about 5% in the nighttime. Well, not much, but it costs nothing to take the shading down. This is the same model in EDICE, as I mentioned. This is how I work. This is one of the typical rooms, another, this is to the north, and then you have some dummy model to keep track of the energy inside the room. Okay, short conclusion. Start with a study of the facade. Few representative rooms, boil down this to a few metrics you can compare to optimize, and work with as few programs as possible. Or always in these conceptual stages. Okay, thank you very much. Yes?
How do you rate, for example, the glare index and these sort of criteria against, for example, energy consumption? You say you rate, you analyze level twice, then produce a metric out of the metric.
Yeah, right now we use TIVA 1.9, so we're kind of limited in what
no,
we can
I mean,
do.
Also from the point of view that to argument with energy issues is much more powerful because of the money which is involved with it, whereas with glare index and all that, it's...
we don't quantify glare as a metric. We use it to just make sure that the shadings behave that they should. So we don't. The real problem is that we overestimate the positive side of the sun during winter. Because the energy software always say you can see this much, and in reality you never can because people take down all these shades. And that's what we really try to do with glare. I think hopefully in the future we can say that, okay, glare is so important that this will cost you money or this will cost you production failure or something like that. But that's still in the future. Right now it's only a matter of money, energy, to get this rest of the stuff more correct. Unfortunate, but we are learning, but we are a long way to go so far because people don't even think about glare in Sweden. They've never, of course, they don't know what it is, but no. And I've seen so many creative solutions when people get glare problems. They have the student home where they have, it was beautiful architecture in glass, black walls, and they have covered it with blankets in all the colors. And it's about, I actually mentioned that for the architect, he didn't answer me, but no. And there's people solve the problems, and then it affects the thermal comfort and the energies. There's no need for... one thing I have at the time, I can mention that in Sweden, we are not regulated by... We can't say that this software said, we have no standard method to optimize building. In other countries, I've seen you compare the simulation, like in Lead, to a standard reference building. But we can't do that in Sweden. You can use any software you do use, but the result has to be correct. And afterwards, you measure the energy performance of the building. If it's not according to law, you have to fix that. So do as you want. You don't have to calculate. Do as you want, as long as it's correct. So it's a huge freedom, but it's rather scary as well, because what you do when you have made some fault calculations. People are not that nice to you, as they were in the beginning of the project. So. Yeah?
Do you find early on that if you crack daylighting, then you solve most of the problem? Because if you've got a well-daylit room, particularly say near the back, then chances are it's shallow enough for simple natural ventilation from one side. If it's not too over daylit, then it probably doesn't have that much problem with solar gain. So is it weighted that way, or is it more stuff from a thermal modeling point of view?
It's the other way around. Mm-hmm. The modeling, the energy, the indoor, these metrics that are regulated are usually dominant over the daylight environment, unfortunately. And that's usually to one problem. As an engineer, I usually work with indoor climate and energy, but the glare and the visual comfort, that's not my field of work really. It's the architect or the lighting designer or someone else. So, and they are not involved in this early process. Well, the architect is, but he usually doesn't know a thing about these things. So that's a problem. It's no one defends the visual comfort and these things. But I can say it required cost this much energy, and then it's I usually kind of kill everything else with my server. It's up to me to try to fight for a good visual control. The problem is that's much harder to calculate as well. So it's in a limited amount of time. You usually just look at the indoor climate and energy, unfortunately, and just maybe a few data traps.
Okay.
Yeah.
The combination of values you get at the end changed much from building to building of your metrics.
Once again,
the combination of values.
Yes. For every building we make, and I try usually I try to speak with determine this together with the ones who to make the big decisions, my employee in this case, or the architect, which values, which metrics should we and how should we combine them. When I teach at Chalmers, we have a standard method to compare all the student pool's work. But otherwise, it's and sometimes we remove one of the points entirely. They may be not interested in thermal comfort or visual comfort, so we only look at energy, and it differs. And we don't have a standard method there. We just kind of guess how we should combine. Yes.
What are the sort of typical savings that you arrive at? Say, first you get the design and the idea.
I would say quite a lot. Maybe 50%.
Okay.
It's not unusual to be 50%. If I depending on how much freedom I have.
What are the sort of rules of thumb that you might have distilled after doing this?
It is window areas, of course, but usually I don't use much rule of thumbs except for daylight. When it comes to energy performance and thermal comfort, it's easier just to calculate. Because every building is unique in some way, and the heating and ventilation system that we usually don't know much about has a huge impact on this. For example, if you have a variable air handling system compared to a water-based cooling system, that can change maybe 30-40% of the building energy. And that's nothing we know in this stage. But if I say, okay, I should go with the variable airflow systems, it will affect. It limits the amount of sun that I can let into the building, because then I can only have maybe 10 watts per square meters. Otherwise, there will not be enough cooling in the building, so it will fail, and then I can't use this entire system. So I have to use a water-based system or something. So it's hard to use rules of thumbs in this early stage, except for daylight. Then I use it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.